All right, everybody, welcome to Simply Stated. Today I have Matt Lambert, the CSBS Deputy General Counsel. Matt, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Matt. It's good to be here.
So whenever you invite a general counsel in for a podcast interview, you always know it's going to be on something that sounds very dry. But this sounds dry, but is actually quite interesting. And this is about how regulators share information with one another. So just a quick preface, you know, the U.S. has this deeply interconnected financial system. Banks regularly work with one another, with licensed non-banks, with third-party service providers. And to supervise all of those groups requires regulators to work across agencies, industries, state lines, state federal lines. So, you know, just recently, state financial regulators signed an information sharing agreement with the Federal Housing Finance Agency, or FHFA. And so today I wanted to interview you and just learn a little bit more about that agreement, but also about information sharing agreements in general. So can you explain rather simply what an information sharing agreement is when we talk about financial supervision?
Sure, Matt. So there are a bunch of different types of information sharing agreement, but at their core, every information sharing agreement is really just a promise between parties to keep information safe. So as you described, we have a lot of different regulators, jurisdictions, products, services under the broad umbrella of financial services in the United States. And we want those regulators and their respective jurisdictions to be coordinating with one another. And the most important thing to allow that to happen is the trust between parties, knowing that they are going to keep each other's information safe. So it's kind of like a middle school lunch table. You don't tell the kid that likes to tell everybody else's secrets. You tell the kid that has agreed ahead of time that we're going to keep information safe, and that's what we're doing in a legally binding fashion.
So you mentioned legally binding. This is a question that I have. Is you're talking about all regulators. They all understand the importance of keeping information confidential and safe. Why have this agreement in the first place? Why can't they just ring each other up and say, hey, you've got a secret clearance, I've got a secret clearance, here's my information, what's your information? Why go through all the trouble and hassle? And it seems like a lot of hard work to have this agreement.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point and a question I had when I first started here 15 years ago. Everybody seems to know each other and they seem comfortable and a lot of strong professional relationships. But your first point was that they understand what it means to have confidential information. And that understanding is also part of the obstacle. So if I have information I know I'm required to keep confidential, but I also know that it impacts you, and I don't know for sure if you can keep that information confidential, we need something between us to kind of outline that understanding. And that's what the information sharing agreements, which are usually MOUs, that's what they do. They establish that trust between the parties such that they know that when they share information, it is not going to be released outside of that relationship.
And so state regulators have these information sharing agreements with a number of federal agencies, and this one with FHFA is not the first. Have you been able to observe, looking at these agreements and how they operate, what the benefits are to having them? What do we risk by not establishing these relationships and lines of communication and putting all this hard work in and getting these agreements in ahead of time?
Yeah, I think going back to your previous question, what you really risk is not having frank and open dialogue. So if a state regulator has a problem with a company that also touches a federal regulator, they should be able to call them and talk about it. And without an information sharing agreement, they might not know that they can, or they might have to tiptoe around it. There's different ways to tiptoe around subjects, and none of them are good. You should be able to have frank and open dialogue about exactly what the problem is with a specific company, so you can plan accordingly. In the mortgage space, we can see this with states license and supervise mortgage loan originators. Those MLOs are going to be subject to the supervisory authority of the CFPB. We have an MOU in place between CSBS and the states and the CFPB to make sure that that open and frank dialogue can occur between those parties. And now we have it with the FHFA, which will serve a similar purpose, making sure that all parties are equally apprised when there's a problem. And the real benefit there too is, the states and CSBS and FHFA, they all know each other, right? They know who they are. They can find phone numbers and emails. But putting that information sharing agreement in place can also start to open up a relationship that, may have just been – you might have been acquaintances before, but now you can be friends and have better, more robust dialogue.
So better relationships, clear lines and boundaries around what you can and can't share, better communication. It sounds like these are the types of things that you would want in place before there's a crisis.
That is absolutely right. There were a lot of instances prior to the SAFE Act, Dodd-Frank, all the work that we've been doing over these past 15 years where coordination or having these relationships in place between state regulators, federal regulators, between federal regulators and federal regulators would have been beneficial. So by doing the work now, getting to know each other in peacetime means you get to have those relationships in place when something does go wrong.
So given the purpose of these agreements, it sounds like establishing them takes a lot of careful legal work. What goes into establishing an agreement like this? Since you've just worked on one, how much time does it take? How much effort does it take? How many people does it take? It sounds like a pretty big endeavor.
Yeah, so I think what's going to speed is going to depend on the subject matter at issue. So we typically deal in two types of MOUs. One would be data sharing. So CSBS owns and operates NMLS. NMLS is tasked under the Federal SAFE Act to really be a conduit between regulators to make sure information flows freely among those with financial services oversight authority, whether they be state or federal regulators. The data in NMLS, accordingly, should be shared. But it can't just be shared willy-nilly. The person or regulator that receives the data must have financial services industry oversight authority. So doing the work ahead of time to clear exactly what the lines of their authority are critical and frankly take longer. You can imagine the importance of getting that right, considering data security requirements, access privilege, confidentiality, the whole nine yards. So, data MOUs will take longer to put in place. Supervisory MOUs, on the other hand, are a bit easier because, one, parties don't enter into supervisory MOUs unless they have supervisory authority. So you kind of get that out of the way up front. But then two, really what you're agreeing to is protecting each other's work product in the future. So that only takes a couple paragraphs here or there to make sure that if Matt Longacre has a report of examination and shares it with me, Matt Lambert, I promise not to release that report of examination. And if it goes the other way, you promise not to release my information. So it's actually kind of easier to structure those because it's a promise to keep other people's information confidential and maintain the privilege and privacy associated with it.
All right. So I know you're being a little humble about how much work it takes, but you did mention a couple different types of agreements here. Tell me more specifically about the agreement signed with the FHFA and the states. What are the parties aiming to achieve, and what does it do?
So the FHFA MOU between CSBS and the states are what I call a foot-in-the-door MOU. The purpose of it is, as I described before, to establish those relationships between the parties, make sure there is open and frank dialogue between supervisory teams and the experts that are in the mortgage market right now. And doing that now in case something goes wrong in the future. This has been a recommendation from FSOC for a couple years that we finally got signed. Was it this month? Was it April? Yeah. It's been a while getting it together. So the intent is to make sure that state regulators and the FHFA, which supervises Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the Federal Home Loan Banks, have an open line of communication. So when I say foot in the door, it's really just to make sure that their enforcement person can call our enforcement person and have that frank and honest conversation, because there are situations where supervisory decisions may impact compliance issues at Fannie Mae, at Freddie Mac, at less likely the home loan banks, but it could happen, and vice versa. Compliance decision at Fannie and Freddie could impact the licensing status of a licensee. So making sure the lines of communication are in place are critical to make sure that if that kind of impact does happen across jurisdictions, it doesn't come as a surprise. And you were alluding to it before. In 2008, in the mortgage crisis, there were surprises. And there was concern about surprises, yet still no open dialogue between the parties. So getting this in place now, we can finally move forward, make sure there's no surprises, make sure everybody's on the same page, and work together to achieve our common goals of making sure the mortgage market is safe, sound, consumers have access to credit, and they are protected at the same time.
And so you talk about some harmony when crossing jurisdictions or impacts of decisions made, crossing between state and federal lines. Gives us an idea a bit of what this information sharing agreement can do. I'm just curious, what are the boundaries to this? What are some things that we can't do or that are not part of this agreement? Surely it's not, oh, we're just going to open all of our information and books to each other and just an open flow of communication. It's not data, like you said. Like where are the lines to this? You say it's a foot in the door. So where are the contours? Where are the boundaries that we're talking about?
So earlier I described a supervisory MOU versus a data MOU. This is not a data MOU. So one of the reasons it took so long was we were trying to figure out the best way to manage information sharing through NMLS. And frankly, the levels of review and legal work required to do that was going to take more years to get this done. So we changed the scope and said, all right, how can we have an MOU in place to make sure that we have the appropriate lines of communication in place? And by the way, also talk further about using NMLS if it becomes appropriate. So data is off the table in this MOU. This is purely a supervisory MOU and a voluntary one. So there is no obligation for either party to provide any information. A state can sign this MOU today and issue an enforcement action tomorrow without talking to FHFA at all, and vice versa, obviously. But the hope is that by establishing these lines of communication, there is a robust dialogue ahead of time and these relationships get made. The scope is supervisory purposes, but it's all voluntary and really to make sure the parties start or continue marching in the right direction, but with clear expectations about how information will be protected.
So it creates the opportunity to collaborate, but not the obligation to disclose.
That's right.
Got it. And so now that this agreement is signed, what comes next? what should our regulator doing their day-to-day work expect out of this? And if I'm an industry compliance officer and I hear about this, what should I be expecting to come out of this?
So supervisors do two things ahead of exams. They risk profile and they risk scope. So risk profiling is probably off the table for this MOU in terms of looking at a screenshot of the entire industry, figuring out where the risk is, and focusing your regulatory energies. The parties are going to continue doing that on their own. Risk scoping, on the other hand, is about specific companies. So if you have a company that's shown a lot of red flags in your data analytics, you put those red flags into your exam program, right? That's what you're going to be looking at when you do the exam. That's probably not going to change either. What's going to change is when everything goes wrong. So if a company has been scoped after, you know, rising to the top of your risk list because of the profile, you do the exam, find out that there's a lot of problems. Now that this MOU is in place, that lead examiner or the enforcement attorney, really any number of parties involved can reach out to the FHFA and say, hey, we got a problem here. This is what we plan on doing. Just a heads up, we're going to do that. So it really just opens up another line of communication when enforcement comes around, making sure that the impact of any supervisory action or enforcement action does not negatively affect the other party by coming as a surprise.
So if you're in the industry, how you comply is not changing, and what the compliance rules are is not changing. It is just if you are not in compliance, there might be more regulators who have a better idea about what's going on.
I think that's a fair statement. But really, it's for those worst-case scenarios. And frankly, there are fewer and fewer worst-case scenarios out there than there were, you know, in 2008, obviously. But the industry is pretty strong. It's not without its problems, but when those problems do arise, there's going to be information sharing protections in place to make sure all the parties can work together.
Well, you know, I don't like background noise on my podcast, but I'm going to knock on wood here about things getting better. So, Matt, this was really informative. Thanks for coming in. Really appreciate your insights.
Matt, can I just add one thing?
Yeah.
So this MOU was the baby of two people. Chuck Cross, who recently retired from CSBS, has been pushing for this level of coordination for years, and he worked with our former general counsel, Buzz Gorman, to get this done. As you know, Buzz died 2 months ago and didn't get to see this signed, which is a real shame because he'd been working on it for years. Ultimately, it comes down to this is what CSBS does. CSBS exists to support state regulators so that they can support their communities, whether it be safe and sound mortgage origination and servicing or consumer protection. And, you know, those are two sides to the same coin. So by getting these kinds of agreements in place, whether it's with FHFA or previous MOUs that Buzz led, like with the CFPB, with the FDIC and Federal Reserve back in the late 90s, these are really critical agreements to get the relationships in place, get the peace of mind in knowing that the protection is there and all parties agree to how they are going to operate. And, you know, when you look at the list of MOUs that CSBS and the states have in place, it has Buzz's fingers all over it. And, you know, there's probably a dozen of them. They're on our website. You know, it's really a testament to all that he accomplished in advancing the dual banking system.
It's such a great way to close it. There's so much we owe to Chuck and to Buzz. Chuck, Buzz, we love you both from here and beyond. Thanks again, Matt.